the escape plan on Olivet, the prophecy of Jesus that ties together all the prophecies here on 153 Great Podcasts.
I'm a Dinajah with atomic mind. Can't you beat her with your ears wide? Walking like a proud dinosaur. Jesus coming, gonna shut the door, yeah. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved.
Praise the Lord, everyone. In this episode, we're going to talk about the short work, the intense 3.5-year revival period of the Great Tribulation, where Jesus redeems Israel, the church that will result from Acts 2:38 preaching, in the city of Jerusalem and throughout Israel. Now, when the nations, the locusts, surround Israel, and all nations shall come against Israel, we see that they will cry out to the Messiah. They have no other hope. But of course, you have to believe in Jesus before you can cry out to him, which means a revival occurs under the preaching of the two witnesses before people of Jewish ancestry are ready to cry out to Jesus, their Messiah. And he will respond. He will destroy the locust nations with the sword of his mouth. Now, it's most likely that the Battle of Armageddon and Gog Magog war are one and the same. But even if it's not, we know that all Israel shall be saved, according to Romans chapters 9, 10, 11. The book of Romans is really an answer to the book of Isaiah, why nobody lives a life of righteousness or justice. And of course, Paul proves that it was impossible to do that until we get to the New Testament, the New Covenant, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm going to talk about tonight these three chapters that have the theme, All Israel Shall Be Saved. That's found in chapters 9, 10, and 11 of the book of Romans. The end time plan of God for Israel is clear in the book of Romans. Romans 9, 1 through 4, Paul says this, I am not lying when I say my heart is broken and I am in great sorrow. I would gladly be placed under God's curse and be separated from Christ for the good of my own people, the descendants of Israel, God's chosen people, whom God showed his glory, even made agreements with them and gave them his law and temple, along with other promises. Paul's demonstrating how great Israel was to be chosen, okay? However, they were chosen primarily to deliver the word of God, both New and Old Testaments. And Paul makes this point even though he recognizes that Israel has not been justified by faith. They have a stumbling block. So he begins the idea that God has predestined his promise, his future foresight and plan, when Israel will decide to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, God never violates the human will, and we're going to prove that here shortly. However, he predestines his promise to arrive. Now, the timing of this has to do with men's willingness to receive God's promise. That's what's always tied together. The predestined promise of God must meet the human will that's ready to receive it. So, Israel will decide to come to faith in Jesus Christ. God himself sets in motion the conditions, yet again, to motivate Israel. The Holocaust was not enough. That gathered them back as a nation. But they weren't motivated to seek Jesus at this moment. What will cause them to seek Jesus Christ? It's my belief that the end time Gog Magog war, which may be in fact the Battle of Armageddon, that Israel will be surrounded by all these terrible nations. And of course, we see Vladimir Putin up there in Syria. We see the Iranian and Hezbollah and Hamas alliance. We see that things are changing in the Middle East dramatically, and that the Palestinians are in league with the Iranians. So we're seeing that Israel is going to be surrounded and will need to call on the Messiah, and he will rescue them. Because God does not break his promises, but his promises are delayed by those who are Israel of the flesh. And we're talking about the synagogue, but not of the heart. If you're not a Jew by faith in Jesus Christ, you are fake Israel, to coin, use a modern term that's been bantied about here for the last few months. To be Israel of the flesh is to follow the Old Testament law and not to follow Jesus by faith. And that's where they will come to. Humans have a free will, but they choose disobedience, and that delays God's goodness, his promises. That's the point Paul is making. That's what Luther, Calvin, Augustine all missed. They thought God just hammers people with the predestined will like he did Pharaoh. But there's a reason why he did it to Pharaoh. And there's a reason why Esau was not chosen. So next we're going to talk about the divine election, chosenness. And in this case, we're going to get a good definition of this. And this is where Augustine and his followers, Luther and Calvin, got confused. For this is the word of promise, at the time appointed, I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Consider Rebekah, wife of Isaac, Paul says, who also conceived at an appointed time. These twins were born, having not existed. They were promised that the purpose of God, according to divine election. You might as well see divine election as God's purpose. It might arise not of human efforts, but of him that calls forth. God waits till humans are ready. He plans his purpose. He knows, because he's omniscient, what the future will be. He knows when humankind will be ready. That's when he calls his purpose into being. And that's really all God does. He doesn't violate human will. He just brings his plan, his appointed times, his spoken word of promise. He brings it to bear at the right time. So divine election is the word of promise. It waits until the fullness of time, when people are ready, when the sin cup is full, when the Gentile, the fullness of the Gentiles is done. He then brings his word of promise to pass, like he did with Sarah and her son Isaac, and Rebekah, of course, with Jacob and Esau. So divine election is intervention points in men's affair by God's unmerited promises and purpose. We don't deserve what God is going to do. He just promises of an unconditional loving heart. So Esau have I hated. God said this. In other words, his purpose was going to come through Jacob. Chosenness. Why did he choose Jacob before Jacob was even born? Well, it's real simple. Esau would sell his birthright out for a bowl of soup, porridge, a pot of porridge. And he did so. He married from the Ishmaelites, disappointing his parents. Jacob went to the family of Abraham and married. So the whole point that God is trying to make is that Esau, he foresaw that Esau would not follow him with his heart. He was a man of the flesh. Jacob was different. Jacob was going to, in fact, build an altar. And God saw that eventually, that's Jacob would seek God, have his hip touched, and it would be put out of joint. He would be reconciled to his brother, and he would have 12 sons. And of those sons, we know that Joseph and Judah were the important ones. So, God hardened Pharaoh, right? Yeah, judgment makes people harder. Hard preaching hardens hearts. Pharaoh was already predisposed not to let Israel go. He was greedy. He did not want to lose his bricklayers, the people that were building some of these monuments and pyramids and statues. He didn't want to lose them. It was the economic well-being of Egypt. It was greed. He wanted something for nothing. However, God had a purpose and a plan, and it came through Moses and the chosenness of the people of Jacob. And of course, when God chooses, that means there's an appointed time. If God has chosen us, that means that he'll have to bring chastisement until we are willing to agree. And that's God's method. So who has resisted God's will? Well, Pharaoh and Esau did. But generally, what Paul's trying to say is that if God chooses you, there's a chastening. So divine election is chosenness. God will chasten Israel once more before the appointed time of the second arrival of their Messiah, Jesus, in Jerusalem. This will be the time of Jesus' coronation. Remember what Jesus said, "You will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is a recitation of the Psalm 118 coronation ceremony. The priests were supposed to say, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna." The people said it, but the king must be anointed and proclaimed and declared by the priesthood, and Jesus will return when they're ready. Praise God. The short work that's coming, okay? There's a short work. Romans 9, 26 through 28 says it this way. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, that was in Hosea 1:10, you are not my people, lo am I. But it also said, there shall they be called the children of the living God. That seems to be like a paradox in the scriptures, that the people who are not my people shall be called the children of the living God. It's talking about those that come into the church, as opposed to through the Old Testament law. Now, Paul goes on to say that Isaiah cried this concerning Israel in Isaiah 10:22. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. And then he says this, which is not found in the Old Testament, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. It will be a very fast work when Israel comes into the church. And that's the only way they can come in, just like us Gentiles do today. They'll have to repent of their sins. They'll have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. They'll have to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord will appear and say, you are my people. You are my remnant. The remnant shall be saved. Gentiles are found righteousness because we found it by faith. We sought it by faith. Jews did not find righteousness because they sought it by the law. And of course, the rabbis continue to teach the law. You will not find righteousness that way. So faith of Jesus Christ, or in Jesus Christ, is the Jew's stumbling block. It's identified in Isaiah and in the book of Romans. So this stumbling block will be removed at the end time when the short work is accomplished, when the remnant is saved. Can you say praise the Lord? It's an exciting time. I personally believe that it's very near. I see that all these nations that hate Israel, especially those in the UN, are surrounding her. They're developing missiles. They are ready to take Israel down. God's not going to have it. It's not going to happen. He will deliver them, but they're going to have to cry out to him. Now, finally, in this study tonight, don't boast against the stock. Romans 11, 5 and verse 9, or verse 5 and 9 says this, even so at this present time also there is a remnant. God always saves the remnant. That's all Israel, okay? The majority never wants to be saved. If you think the majority will save you, become a Muslim. There's 1.6 billion of them on the planet. They are the majority religion. Or become a Catholic. There's 1.3 billion of them. That's the majority. Or become an atheist. There's a lot of them. I don't think they're the majority, but there sure is a lot. And there's a lot of Hindus if you want to be part of the majority. So at this present time, the remnant, according to the election of grace, and that's the divine election which we described before, which is chosenness. God has chosen this remnant. Now, when they suffer, when they are surrounded by the armies of the heathens, then they will call on Jesus to save them. That remnant will. That's what we're waiting for. And David said, this is verse 9 of Romans 11, 9. He said this in Psalm 69, 22 through 23. Let their table, and of course the table always refers to the table of showbread in the temple. That's where you eat the word. That's your Bible. That's your bread. Let their table, their theology, be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a repayment unto them. Why are the Jews conquered by rabbinical Judaism and the Old Testament law? Their table, their theology is a snare. It's a repayment. But God is going to have grace on that remnant. He's going to call them into the true gospel, the Acts 2:38 gospel. The only name whereby we must be saved is the name of Jesus. They're going to have to call on him. They're going to have to give him coronation and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Lord will deliver them from all those armies of evil that are coming against them. It's the devil, folks. He hates Israel. The remnant of Jews will call on Jesus for deliverance at the appointed time. And that time is when they're ready. When they're ready. What does it take to get them ready? God knows what it takes. Their table of theology is bent in interpretation of the scriptures. It's totally bent. It goes in X and comes out Y. It's a snare unto the Jews until the final redemption. So the broken off natural branches, the Jews, there's no reason to boast against the stock, the Jews. Why? Be careful that the wild branch can be easily broken off, just like the natural branch. That's why we don't boast against them. Listen, there's nothing wrong with calling out rabbinical Judaism as being a bad theology, but that's not calling out the Jewish people and being anti-Semitic against them. There's a difference between the Jewish people and the rabbinical Judaism that they are, oppressed by. come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Okay? That's what Jesus would say to them. Come out. Come out to the Acts 2:38 gospel. That gospel is grace. It'll redeem you. It'll change you. It'll transform your life. It'll complete it'll complete the law. It will legitimize the law, which was given only to tell us that we needed a Messiah to save us, to be our Redeemer, to be our propitiation, to pay the penalty for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. That's all I can say. So Isaiah 59:20 says this, that God has promised to deliver out of Zion, all Israel will be saved. That means he's going to be Jewish. There's going to be a deliverer out of Zion. He won't be a Muslim. He won't be a Catholic. He won't be the Pope of Rome. He won't be a Gentile in the church. It will be a deliverer out of Zion. And that will be Jesus Christ will deliver them, because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Israel is called. They are chosen. God is good and severe. He's good to those who obey, and he's severe to those who don't.
With the weakening of the United States because of division and chaos around the world, we know that the locust nations will surround Israel, will feel bold because they will feel nobody is there to stop them. Recently, China has entered into a trade agreement with Iran. This trade agreement will embolden Iran to finish their nuclear program and threaten Israel, wipe it off the map. This is the time we're living in. It's no time to delay. It's no time to not assemble in the Church of the Living God. Pray for your pastor, folks. Assemble. Worship in spirit and in truth. Be ready. And we'll give you the escape plan here in the final lesson. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Don't be boasting against the franchise. Respect the stock, root of scripture. Don't be stupid, it's a mystery. Zion's king, it's a rush delivery. Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. Listen up, devil.
You've been listening to The Escape Plan on Olivet. Prophecy of Jesus that ties together all other prophecies here on 153 Great Podcasts. More content at 153greatpodcasts.com.